Our text verse this morning is that fourth verse from Psalm 39, where David prayed, "Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am." David was asking the Lord to remind him of how frail life is. And David wanted to know. He said, just tell me where I'm going to end up. Tell me how many more days I'm going to have. I know I'm frail. I know I'm weak. And I know that my life one day is going to come to an end. David says, I don't know when that is, but Lord, you know. He was saying, I know I'm not going to live forever. I'm not indestructible. And I want to have the end in sight. If I could have the end in sight, I think he was saying, then I could live my life better. And I think all of us could say that if we knew when the end was coming. I mean, if God, and God doesn't do this, he just wants us to live for him every day, knowing that we could die any day. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. From the oldest to the youngest, from the healthiest to the person that's sickest in this room this morning, we don't know when our life is going to end. And the healthiest person may be the one that goes first. The youngest person may be the one that goes first. We don't know. But all of us could say with David, Lord, if you just tell me when I was going to die, I'd make sure I'd live my life in a way that was pleasing to you. And God doesn't do that because he wants us to live our life in a way pleasing to him every day. Because, again, none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. In fact, all through our life, in many circumstances in our life, if we paid more attention to the end, we might not get into the trouble that we sometimes get into. Let me just give you some examples from the Bible of what I'm talking about. If Eve had paid more attention to the end, she might not have succumbed to the temptation of the devil and eaten the fruit. If Cain had paid more attention to the end, he probably wouldn't have brought the wrong offering to God. If Noah had thought more about how it was going to affect his life, he probably wouldn't have gotten drunk and laid out naked for his sons to see him. If Lot had thought more about the end, he probably wouldn't have picked the well-watered plains that looked toward Sodom. If he thought more about how he was going to end up, he probably wouldn't have made that choice. If Jacob had thought more about the end, he probably wouldn't have deceived Esau. If Jephthah was the one that made the vow, if God would give him victory in battle, he would sacrifice the first thing that came out of his house. If he would have thought more about how that might have turned out, his daughter, by the way, was the first one that came out of the house. If he would have thought more about how that would have turned out, he probably wouldn't have made the vow in the first place. If Samson would have thought more about how it was going to end, he probably wouldn't have laid his head in Delilah's lap. If Saul had thought more about the end, King Saul had thought more about how it was going to turn out, he probably wouldn't have disobeyed God and spared the king of the Amaleks and the best animals when God had told him to go in and kill everything. If David, the one who wrote Psalm 39, had thought more about how it was going to turn out, he probably wouldn't have looked at Bathsheba and certainly would have done what he'd done after he looked at her. If Solomon had thought more about the end, he probably wouldn't have married so many women. Amen. Brother Ferris, you're in trouble. If Rehoboam had thought more about the end, he's only got one, Georgette, and he loves you, I know that, so he's okay. If Rehoboam had thought more about the end, he probably would have listened to the advice of the older men who served with his father, Solomon, and taken their advice and lifted the load from off the people. If Jonah would have thought more about how it was going to end up, he probably wouldn't have gotten in that boat and fled from Nineveh. If the prodigal son had thought more about how it was going to end up, he would have never asked his dad for his part of that inheritance and gone into that far country. If Judas had thought more about how it was going to end up, he probably wouldn't have betrayed Christ and sold him for that 30 pieces of silver. If Ananias and Sapphira had thought more about how it was going to come out, they probably wouldn't have lied to Peter and to God about how much they sold their property about. And so many examples in the Bible that we can point to and say, hey, if they would have thought more about how it was going to come out, if they would have thought more about the end, if they would have thought more about the results, they might not have made the same decision that they made. Now, the same is true in all of our lives. Same is true in those in the lives of those people whose lives have been wrecked by alcohol and by tobacco and drugs. I mean, if the drunkard had thought more about how it was going to end, he probably wouldn't have taken the first drink. If the person with lung cancer had thought more about how it was going to end, they probably wouldn't have smoked the first cigarette. If the addict would have thought more about how it was going to end, he wouldn't have taken the first pill or taken the first shot. If a couple that's in the middle of divorce had thought more about how it was going to end it, they probably wouldn't have ignored their mate. They probably would have paid more attention to their marriage. If the bitter old person would have thought more about how his life was going to end, he probably would have been a better friend throughout his life. And so the question is, how can we know the end? God doesn't reveal the end of our life. In fact, God doesn't tell us the results of the decisions that we make. All of us make decisions. All of us in our life are facing things that we've never faced before. When the children of Israel got ready to cross the Jordan River and go into the promised land, Joshua said, "That ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore." And all of us, regardless of how old we are, regardless of the circumstances in our life, we face situations every day that we've never faced before. We face decisions every day that we've never had to make before. And again, if we could know how they were going to turn out, if we could open a book, or if we could look into a crystal ball, and we could say, hey, I'm about to make this decision, how's it going to turn out? I've never gone this way before. And again, all throughout life, we do that. The toddler taking his first step has not passed that way before. The kindergarten on his first day of school has not passed that way before. The teenager starting high school has not passed that way before. The college freshman that's about to take his first class has not passed that way before. The young person that goes out and gets his first job and spends the first job, first day on the job, has not passed that way before. The bride and groom, when they stand before a preacher and at an altar about to say, I do, they've not passed that way before. A new mom and dad, when they bring their first baby home, have not passed that way before. A middle-aged couple whose children have moved out and now face the prospect of an empty nest have not passed that way before. A person that's about to retire has not passed that way before. A senior citizen who now is forced to live by himself or herself has not passed that way before. How can we know the end? I mean, if we can know the end, if we can know how it's all going to turn out, we can make better decisions. I'm going to tell you. I don't have a crystal ball. I don't have a book that you can open. But I'm going to tell you how you can know the end. There's two ways. Two ways that you can know the end. You can travel the road. You can make the decision. You can go that way that you've never gone before. You can travel the road and see how it comes out. That's how you can know the end. Now, unfortunately, you don't, most cases, don't get to do it over. So you make a decision, you get to the end of the road, and you say, I don't like the way this comes out. In most cases, you can't redo it. In most cases, you can't replay it. You're forced to live with the result of that decision. But there's a second way, a better way to find out how it's going to end. You can ask people who have traveled that road and see how it's come out for them. I mentioned in Sunday school that I was grateful for the people that God has put in our life that serve as an example to us. Do you know that in your life, stop and think about it for a minute, in your life, every single one of you and me, we know somebody that has traveled the road that we're about to travel. We do. There's people that God has put in our life that at some point in the past have faced the same decision that we face now. And they know how their decision turned out. Now, in some cases, they can tell you, hey, I made a good decision, and this is how it turned out. In other cases, if they're a true friend, they'll tell you, hey, I made a bad decision, and this is how it turned out for me. So we have those two options. We can make the decision, go down the road ourselves, and see how it ends. But the problem with doing it that way is that we don't get a redo. Or we can find somebody that's gone down that road before us, talk to them about the decisions that they made, and base our decisions on the result of their decisions. Now, we do that in certain areas of our life. How many of you ladies have a recipe book? Just raise your hand. You have a recipe book, okay? Just about everybody. I didn't ask the men. I'm sure some of the men have recipe books, but ladies usually have the recipe books. You are doing exactly what I described in the second alternative. You are asking somebody who's gone down that road before you about the decisions that they've made and how it turned out. Can you imagine trying to make something that you've never made before without a recipe? Just imagine. Something that you've never made before. You have no idea what the ingredients are. You say, I know what Brother Clyde would say. You just go to the grocery store, buy the can, open the can, and pour it. That Brother Clyde Vaughn, not Brother Clyde Tuttle. I got to make sure which Brother Clyde you know I'm talking about. But that's not what I'm talking about. Can you imagine, ladies and you men that cook, what it would be like if you did not have a recipe book to follow, and you were going to make something that you never made before? Just think about how it might turn out. I used to watch my grandmother cook, and I know she had a recipe book. She had several of them, but she never took them out. She was so experienced. She put a little bit of this in, a little bit of that in, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I'm not sure she could tell you exactly what she put in, but she'd done it so many times that it turned out good. My brother, she used to make homemade rolls, and my brother wanted to know how to make them before she died. So the last three or four times she made them, he went over her house and he watched, and he tried to write down everything that she put into those rolls. The problem was, every time she did it, it was a little bit different. He never mastered making good rolls. He just never did. But that's an example of the second alternative. We ask people that have gone down that road before us for their advice. Men, we do the same thing most of us do when we try to fix something. Can you imagine that you're a novice? You've never worked on plumbing before. You don't ask anybody to do it, and you just start taking things apart. I did that one time. I said, I can fix this. I know how to do this. I didn't ask any advice. I started loosening stuff, and water started spraying all over the place. I didn't even know where to turn the water off. There was a flood before I could find out how to turn the water off. But we take people's advice. I mean, they sell books, how to do this and how to do that. Those are people that have gone down the road before us, and we can see the results that they've had. And if we're smart, we won't experiment on our own. We won't go down that road ourselves. We'll listen to the advice of those that have gone down that road before us. So we do it when we cook. We do it when we fix things. Why don't we do that in all of our life? Why don't young people, okay? There's some young people in the room. When you get ready to pick who your friends are going to be, why don't you ask mom and dad? Why don't you ask grandpa and grandma? They've gone down that road before. They have made decisions about how to pick friends before. And they can tell you the results of the decisions that they made. You don't have to go down the road yourself. You don't have to make the mistakes that people sometimes make in picking out the people that they hang with. You have people that have made that decision before, and if you ask them, they will tell you. They'll be happy to tell you about what you should look for in a friend and how to be a friend. Why don't we do that? Why don't we do that when we're tempted to try a cigarette or a drink or some drug? Why don't we go to people that have made that decision and see how it turned out for them? And why don't we go to people that have decided not to do it and see how it turned out for them? Compare the two results. Why go down the road yourself? You don't have to experience everything. That's why God put people in our life so that we can learn from their example. Why don't we do that when it comes to who we should marry? Hey, I tell you what, I've married lots of people. Somebody asked me the other day how many couples I've married, and I had a house fire and my original book burned up, but I tried to remember most of those, and I've kept track of it ever since the fire. I performed over 700 weddings. 700 weddings. And I dare say that for one-fifth of those, the mother of the bride came to me and said, she's making a mistake. Now, sometimes it was after the mistake had already played out. Sometimes a mom had come to me and said, I knew she was making a mistake. I knew it. I said, did you tell her before she made the mistake? She said, some of them said, no, I didn't. She didn't ask me. I said, that's kind of dumb, isn't it? If you knew she was making a mistake, why didn't you tell her? Others have said, yes, I tried to tell her. She wouldn't listen. But again, I dare say that every parent in this room that has a son or a daughter about to get married would be glad to share their advice about what they think about your prospective mate. Now, I know young people don't like to do this. What do mom and dad know? They got married in the Middle Ages. They don't know anything about marriage today. They don't know how to pick a mate today. Listen, they have gone down that road before. You have never gone down it. And again, I'm convinced that the majority, if not all, moms and dads would be willing to share their opinion of your prospective mate with you. Same thing when it comes to raising kids. You bring that bundle of joy home from the hospital. You have not passed that way before. I mean, there's all sorts of books written about it, but you never know how the people that write the books, you never know how their kids turned out. My understanding is Dr. Spock had some really bad kids. They really turned out bad. And yet millions of people followed his advice. Why not find somebody that their kids turned out right and say, how'd you do it? I mean, you don't have to go down the road yourself. Use the people that God has put in your life. Your parents, your grandparents, your Sunday school teachers, your Christian friends, your aunts, your uncle. Even your pastor knows a little bit about some things, not a lot, but some. And everybody would be more than willing to say, look, you don't have to make the bad decisions that we made. You don't have to go down that road. We know how it's going to end. You don't have to get there to see how it's going to end. We can tell you and we can advise you on how to make those decisions. Now, the same thing is true about the two ways of life. I mean, all these other things are important, but the most important thing is where you're going to end up for eternity. You see, you can use the same two alternatives to decide about the decisions you're going to make about eternity. You can make the decision yourself. You can say, well, I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe the Bible is true. I don't believe the Bible, when it talks about heaven and hell, it's true. And I'm going to make the decision to ignore it. And you can walk through life and die and go out into eternity and end up in hell, but there's no redos. You don't get a second chance. If you decide to neglect God, ignore God, ignore His Word and what it says about eternity, you're going to see how it comes out, and you're not going to like it very much. You're going to wish that you could do it again. But you don't have to do it that way, because the Bible, the Bible gives us example about people that have gone down both roads and how they turned out. I mean, in Luke chapter 16 is a good example. And by the way, Jesus talked about these two ways in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, there's a broad way and a wide gate, and there's a lot of people on that road going through that gate, but Jesus says it leads to destruction. And he said, there's a narrow way and a straight way, and a narrow gate. There's not a lot of people on that road, but it leads to life. Those are your two choices, the broad way and the narrow way, the wide gate and the straight gate. Those are the two choices that we have to make. Again, you can make the choices yourself and see how it comes out, or you can look at the examples that God puts in the Bible and say, I want to see how their decision turned out. We read about the rich man who enjoyed the things of life, enjoyed all the things that the world had to offer. But the Bible says he died, ended up in hell, was tormented by the flames, looked into heaven and saw Lazarus, who was a beggar that laid at his gate, but who put his trust in Jesus, who believed God and trusted God, and ended up in heaven in Abraham's bosom. And the rich man looked into heaven and saw Lazarus and said, Father Abraham, have Lazarus dip the tip of his finger in water and come and touch the end of my tongue. I am tormented in these flames. There's an example of two people that made different decisions. There's an example of two people. One made the decision to ignore God. One made the decision to accept God. One made the decision to reject Christ. The other made the decision to accept Christ. Notice where they ended up. The one that neglected God, the one that ignored Christ, ended up in hell. Now, you can make that decision. You can make the same decision, and you're going to end up in the same place. Say, preacher, I don't think you should tell people they're going to go to hell. I'm not telling people they're going to hell. This book tells people they're going to hell. The Bible says you reject Christ, you ignore God, you're going to spend eternity apart from him. There's only one place you do that, and that's that place called hell. Or you can look at the beggar who decided to pay attention to God. His life on earth wasn't very good. His life on earth wasn't very pleasant, but he trusted God, and he ended up in heaven. Amen. Now again, how's it going to end? God doesn't tell us. He doesn't tell us when our end is going to be. Again, none of us are promised tomorrow. None of us are promised the rest of the day. We're not promised that. But God tells us how our decisions for eternity are going to end up. We reject him. We reject Christ. We're going to end up in hell. We pay attention to what God says in this book, and we accept Christ, and we end up in heaven. So that's a choice we have. That's a choice that you have. If you're here today and you've never received Christ as your Savior, it's that kind of choice. And I encourage you this morning, I beg you this morning, don't make the decision without looking at those who have made it before you. Look at where they ended up and make your decision based on the results of their decision. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ, I invite you right now to ask him to be your Savior. You see, the Bible says we're all sinners. The Bible says there's a penalty for that sin, and that penalty is separation from God. The Bible calls it death, spiritual death. That's what we deserve because we sin. We disobey God. We deserve to be separated from him. And there's nothing that we could do to pay for that on our own. I mean, the only thing we could do is just be separated from God, here and for all eternity. But God didn't leave us like that. He loved us so much that he devised a way that somebody else could pay for our sins. That somebody else was the Lord Jesus Christ. He left heaven. He lived among us. He allowed mankind. God allowed mankind to take his son, nail him to a cross. And when Jesus hung on that cross, God put on his son every one of my sins and every one of your sins. And he paid for him. He paid for him. And because he did, God's able to offer every single person a gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Would you take that gift this morning? It's offered freely to every person. Doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. Doesn't matter. It's offered freely to every person. If you come and if you receive Christ this morning, you can be guaranteed of a home in heaven. You can be guaranteed that you'll never perish. You'll never have to go to hell. Again, not because of what you are, who you are, or what you've done, but because of who Jesus is. Amen. And what he did on Calvary for us. Again, if you're here and you've never received Christ, would you this morning? Not a better time to do it. That's why the Bible says today's the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. Again, I hope everybody has a good long life, but none of us are guaranteed that. This may be our last day on earth. This may be the last opportunity that we have, you have, to receive Christ. Would you do it this morning? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you've put people in our life that have gone down the road before us, that are willing to advise us and tell us about the decisions that we have to make in areas of our life that we've never been before. And I pray that you give us the wisdom to seek out that advice, to follow that advice. Advice that we need to especially take when it comes to eternity. We see in the Bible over and over again of examples of people that have ignored you and the price they paid, and people that have paid attention to you and the blessings that they enjoy. Help us, Father, to be smart enough, to be wise enough, to follow those examples. Those examples of people that have received Christ and given their life to serve him. Help us to be wise enough to follow their examples. I pray you'd bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient to what you lead us to do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.